Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
3 weeks ago, we looked at the letter, a little letter of Jude. Or was that 2 weeks ago? Whenever it was. Jesus' half-brother, his little kid brother. And the theme that we had that last time that I taught was a hope for the empty soul. And we were talking about Christian souls, too. We talked about the fact that we need to remember that we're in this battle, not just in our souls, but for our souls. The devil, if he cannot have you, he wants to squeeze the joy and the life and the focus and the mission, the sense of mission out of you. And he'll do it if you let him. When we talked last or 2 weeks ago about the hope for the empty soul comes down to some decisions that we need to make to sometimes just get quiet before the Lord. Find a place where you can get quiet and to get honest with God. Be still and then talk things over with God exactly as you sense them and feel them. And come into that time of worship. Some of the most amazing songs to me in the book of Psalms are those that were obviously written and addressed to God in the times of the deepest pits in life. I mean, if you know what I mean by the deepest pits, some of you in those right now. And a lot of us just stop singing. We stop even talking to God sometimes in the pits. And I am just amazed at the focus that these old saints had in the middle of the pits, where they lifted up their voices and they sang, or at least recited their poetry to the God that they knew would not forsake them, even though they didn't understand him. We talked about letting God's word and his spirit speak to us, getting deeply into the scripture, consistently into the word. It was that there's I wouldn't call it silly, but it was a very cliche type thing we used to say a lot, and we'd write it in the front leaf of our Bibles back in the day, so to speak. It's a good thing to write in yours. 7 days without the Bible makes 1 week. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? W-E-A-K. 7 days, 1 day without the Bible, 1 day without feasting on God's word will begin to make you weak. But you let God's word and you let God's spirit speak to you, and you develop this intimacy with God. And it's nothing mystical. It's nothing magical. It's doing exactly what the scripture said, to bring your thoughts captive. Refuse to let that thought wander. And is that harder and harder to do today with so many gadgets and screens in front of us? But bring your thoughts captive and focus your heart and your mind and your soul on the lover of your soul. Think deeply upon him and let God speak. Talking back to the devil briefly, not long conversations with the devil, but just to confront his lies and those insipid, constant little lies that just seep in. I rode my bike up the San Gabriel River Trail the other day. And when I was riding up, there's this one place where you go under the bridge. I think it's the PCH bridge. When you go under that bridge right there, it is one of the most radical changes in the tide. And when I rode going up the trail, going, I guess that's north or inland, it was about 4 feet below the road that I was riding on. When I came back less than an hour later, it was about a foot from there. And the tide just swept in. If I'd waited longer, it would have been covering the road that you go under. So you go, you're riding across, so you go kind of slow. But it's that insipid rise of the lies of the enemy. If you don't talk back to him and resist what he wants to do. And I talked to myself. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. As David would write these songs, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," commanding his soul. And I love the one he says, "What's wrong with you, my soul? What are you moaning about? Why are you cast down, O my soul? What happened to your hope?" Hope in God. And you insist and you remind and you renew your commitment. You remind yourself about what God has done. You open up that journal that you keep about what God has said to you and what he's done in your life, and remind yourself, he is alive in me and he does speak to me. And you just renew that commitment. And the bottom line, as it's up there, it says taking responsibility for your own growth. And what I want to do tonight And I had intended to do this last week, but God completely reorganized our week last week. Anybody sad about what we did last week? That was such a message of hope and redemption that my little niece brought here about that dark time in her life and how Jesus grabbed her. I was struck by her honesty. That she told all of you that, yeah, and then I backslid. And I came back, and then I backslid again, but Jesus brought me back, and now she's solid and firm and walking forward. I don't think there was any mistake in that I was sort of ready for this last week, but I think it belonged here tonight. So I want to take this theme just a little bit further tonight, and I want to talk really simply from this passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, about our spirit and our soul and our body. So if you turn there with me and just let me read that passage to you. And then we're going to spend some more time in worship. We're going to sing to the Lord again. Take all of me, not half of me. How many of you want the Lord to have half of you? 20% of you? I don't know how your meter reads on how much you really consciously have surrendered to God, but I hope you say it all the time. God, I really want you to have all of me. Move me closer and closer to that. I'm just going to read from verse 14 down to 24. Paul closing up his letter. Great little letter to the Thessalonians, reminding them that Jesus is coming again. And I think that's the real key, powerful point in both this letter and the next one, 2 Thessalonians. He says this, "And now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all." We're good at pursuing what we think is good for us, but it's another thing to pursue what's good for everybody around us and always to do what would be right and good and a blessing to all. And then he gives us these wonderful bullet points. Verse 16, would you read with me down to verse 22 from verse 16? Let's read out loud together. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Let's read the last two, 23 and 24. "And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." Father, thank you for that reminder of your promise. You will do what only you can do, Lord. You who are faithful, Lord, you will keep what we commit to you. So, Father, as we open the scriptures tonight, oh, what an amazing book the Bible is. How alive and real it is. Lord, help us tonight to hear what your Spirit would say to us through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, I was asked to do the K-Wave Bible verse of the day. And they were supposed to start the broadcast on Monday, and then they ran all the way through to Sunday, but I didn't see, I'm not saying I didn't get it, but I didn't see the reminder on that until Friday, that they needed the recordings on Friday, that very day when I was reading it, and there was no way that I could get that done. I said, I can't get this done for you, I can't get it to you until Wednesday, and I am so sorry. So they missed the Monday, and they missed the Tuesday, totally my fault, but I said, how about if I come into the studio at Cave Wave, because this will get it to you quicker, and I just record them right there in one of your studios, and you have them, and Brian Perez, as some of you have told me you heard, he said, well, why don't you come in and just read the Wednesday one live on the air? That'll be fun. And so I did that, and he introduces me. He says, well, usually these are recordings, but we have Pastor Bill Welsh right here with us in the studio. So, Bill, go ahead and read the kwave.com verse of the day. And I read it, and he said, that was good. He said, here, read the weather, too. And then he said, here, read the traffic report. And here, read the sponsorship from Walmart, I think it was. And it was fun just kind of bantering and hanging out with him. And then He said, why don't you come back tomorrow and we'll do it again? So we did it 2 days in a row. We're going to start a Brian and Bill show together. That'd be kind of fun. But last week, the K-Way Bible verse of the day, and I think it was on, I know that it was on Bethany's birthday, which was on the Thursday. I'm going to read it to you because it got edited just a little bit because, can you believe it, I went a little overtime on it, just a second or two. So they edited something out of it. But as I read this verse, and this was one of the K-Wave Bible verses of the day, verse 23 from this, something in my heart just stirred when I read it, and as I was, you know, writing down what I wanted to say about it, it just stirred something in me, and I want to look closely at that passage tonight. But here's what you would have heard if all of it was broadcast. It went something like this. How much of a claim does God have on us? How much of us does he want? An easier answer, an easier question would be, what part of us is God not interested in? The answer, he wants it all, body, soul, and spirit. He claims it all, and for some strange reason, he even keeps a tally on the decreasing number of the hairs on our skulls. How many of you know what I mean? He's keeping track, even of what we're losing. But most importantly, God oversees our restoration, gaining more and more control as he brings these wild and stubborn spirits, souls, and even our flesh under his loving lordship. We're not perfect yet, but we are on the way because God will always finish what he starts. So let's cooperate with him. And let's give God what's left of our lives, body, soul, and spirit. Why? Because our time is running out and Jesus is coming soon. And again, that's the kwave.com Bible verse of the day. And this is Pastor Bill Welsh inviting you to listen to Refuge Radio each weekday afternoon at 4:30 p.m. right here on K-Wave 107.9 a.m. And the weather today is clear, and it went on. We did it again. What I love about the passage, though, is that what Paul wrote to us about giving our soul and our spirit and our body to God, and even in the context of these injunctions to rejoice all the time and pray all the time and give thanks all the time, not to quench the spirit and to listen to God when he speaks to us through one another and to test everything and hold fast to everything and abstain from all evil. He puts it in this context, verse 24, because Jesus is coming back. We're not really here, in a sense, for the duration. At some point, he's going to lift his church out of this broken world, and he will say, time is up, and the time for labor is over, and the opportunities to serve him are over. How many of you believe that? Wave your hand real high like a flag. You believe that one day Jesus will come. I love the verse in chapter 4 where it says the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and I can't wait to hear that shout. And the voice of the archangel and the trumpet, or whatever it will be, calling us home, and it will be unmistakable. It won't be Chuck Mangione. It won't be anyone, but most of you have no idea who Chuck Mangione is. It'll be him calling us. It'll be his shout. And the archangel will also be shouting out. And the trumpet, some trumpet in heaven will blast, and we will blast off. And so he says, in light of this truth, live a certain way and rejoice in Jesus Christ and give him control of your whole body and your soul and your spirit. I love Paul's closing, powerful closing invitation. He's saying, may God have all of you. All of you, body and soul and spirit, a claim on every bit of you, every fiber, every cell, everything that makes up you. May he have control and authority over all of it. Think of what that means. Everything. Everything. May all of that be his. I cannot read this without thinking, as this happens over and over again through the year. I mentioned this to the School of Worship students yesterday, that we read from Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to quote from it. We won't turn to it because we've said it enough. You probably know it and you can say it out loud with me. But in Romans 12, 1 and 2, just about every pastor I know usually ends up there, whether they're preaching from it or referring to it, probably half a dozen times a year, where Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, I beg you by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And he says, present your bodies to God. You think he just wants our soul? Think he just wants your spirit? No, he wants every bit of you. Your body is his body. It belongs to him. It might even be enough tonight to just ask the searching question, what are you doing with his body? It's his. He purchased it with blood. What are you doing? What am I doing with his hands and his feet and his mouth? And everything that's mine, that I call mine, it's not mine, it's his. Purchased, bought, and paid for. And I think that sometimes a disconnect in the Christian life, it often comes when we think there is something, anything that we can keep back and call that ours and not surrender it to God. It's an incredible disconnect. It's where we unplug from the power source and we think, we carve this bit of me, my body, whatever it is, my time, and I say, it's mine. And I go off and I do what I want with it. Doesn't matter what time it is, whether it's work time, home time, meal time, vacation time, it's his. And I'm his. And the best investment of everything that I am and everything that I have is to give it back to God and say, what do you want me to do with this, God? And you know what? I love it. So sometimes he says, why don't you take that body on vacation? Why don't you take that soul and that mind and give it a rest for a little bit? And refresh and recreate, recreate. It's a recreation is supposed to be to recreate, you know, some depth and the rest that rejuvenates us. And I love it when sometimes he says, and you can take that bit of money and go buy yourself some new shoes. Or you know what? He says, you can repaint your house, you can do this with it. But when you understand that everything that's under your control is really just an issue of stewardship. What are you doing with his property and what he bought, what he paid for? What part of me is God not calling for? He wants it all. Now, in verse 23 again, look at it. May the God of peace himself sanctify. Everybody say sanctify. Sanctification. Sanctified. May God himself, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. I want to talk to you for just a second about the simple word. It is a simple word, sanctify. Sanctify means everything from dedicating, sacrificing. It's to set it apart and say, this is for this. Think Christmas. This is going to be embarrassing to me because I'm sure there are some of you that can answer this question in the affirmative. How many of you have something laid back, a present, a gift that you bought for somebody for Christmas? How many of you have already done some of that? Oh, see, I just don't understand you folks. You can do that. You can think that far ahead. Although, a couple of weeks ago, I did something like that. It's where you buy something and you say, okay, this is going to be set aside. And how many of you would say, once you've bought that item and you know who it's for, and then the next time you see that person, you think, oh, to yourself, oh, I got something for you. How many of you have ever said to another person before Christmas came or birthday came, oh, I got something special for you? Have you ever done that? That's mean. That's just flat out mean to do. Because what? You want it right now. And then, how many of you have given in and given it to them before the birthday? Yeah, see, and I like that. That's me. I can do that. But that's sanctifying. To take something and say, this is for this and no one else. I bought this for Joy. It's not for Bethany. It's not for Jeremy. This is for Joy and it's for no one else. And I hide that away. Now, she doesn't search for things like I do. You know, if I'm, you know, never mind. But she's much more patient than I am. But I do that every year. Sometimes as early as the day before Christmas. I go shopping for Christmas. Sometimes that early. Then I forget. If I do that early, too early, every now and then if I get something way too early, I just forget about it until after Christmas, and then I'll find it, I'll stumble upon it. But 2 weeks ago, on August 19th, I was coming down from Mammoth, and I pulled into a gallery, a photo gallery, in Bishop, Galen Rolls Photo Gallery. And oh, I have to stop there every time I go through Bishop. It's just one of the most amazing, he was one of the most amazing photographers. He passed away in 2006, both he and his wife. But I bought a gift for Bethany's birthday. Bethany's birthday was September 4th. You know what that means? I bought it on the 19th. I didn't give it to her till the 5th because I didn't see her on the 4th. But do you know what that means? I had to wait 2 weeks to give this to her, but it was hers. It was sanctified. It was hers. It was set aside completely hers. So think, gifts like that that you... Let me give you another illustration. It's probably even a more powerful one and even more appropriate. Think marriage. Joy and I flew up to Seattle, then across to Spokane to do a wedding in Coeur d'Alene. I told you about this. A guy, I keep wanting to go like this, but he's bigger than me now, but I dedicated him when he was a baby. And I remember standing there, you know, and looking at these two young people. I hadn't had any time to counsel them. I gave them some materials that they promised that they would go through, and I hardly ever do anything like that, so I'm praying for them. But I stood there before Chris and Cara, and I had them repeat the vows. I gave them the big, long question that all preachers give, and it goes on for about, you know, a minute. And I say, Chris, do you promise now before God and these witnesses that you will always, and it's a long question, and if so, then answer, I do. And they're looking me in the eyes. I don't want them looking at each other at this point. I want them looking at me, and he said, I do. And now, Cara, will you? And it was almost the same long, long question. She said, I do. I do. I will. And then I said, now you turn and you face one another. And I said, I don't want to catch you looking at me, because you're not marrying me, you're marrying them. Look into those eyes and repeat after me, phrase by phrase by phrase. And what they say is, I give my life to you. Imagine if I put into the ceremony, Cara, I give my life to you on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm yours, I'm yours. The other 5 days, I'm mine. That's not sanctified. That's not a marriage. You give yourself away to a person. You are sanctified to that person to keep yourself pure unto them all the days of your life. That's sanctification. Think marriage. I found the day before we left, Joy and I were in a store right across here over at the Rack, looking at the cheap rack at the Rack, Nordstrom Rack. And I hear this song, and I just can't believe that I just heard what I thought I heard. So while we're shopping, I went on Google and I downloaded the lyrics to Marry Me or Marry You by Bruno Mars. Anybody ever heard the song Marry You from Bruno Mars? Listen, how many of you have not heard this? This is a great wedding song. Listen to this. It's a beautiful night. We're looking for something dumb to do. Hey, baby, I think I want to marry you. Now, what part of that doesn't really sound like a love song? Looking for something dumb to do. And it's a great, catchy song, by the way. Is it the look in your eyes, or is it this dancing juice? Who cares? Baby, I think I want to marry you. Well, I know this little chapel on the boulevard. We can go. No one will know. Oh, come on, girl. I love the chorus. Don't say, no, 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 no. Just say, yeah, 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 and we'll go, 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 go. I could write that song. You could write that song. At least the chorus. If you're ready like I'm ready. Now, this verse really got me. And if we wake up and you want to break up, that's cool. No, I won't blame you. It was fun, girl. That is not sanctified. That is not what sanctified. That's not what all of me to you means. It might be a catchy song, but can you imagine anybody that wants that in their vows? Let's do something dumb today. How about let's go get married, babe? No, no. Non-exclusive vows are pretty popular nowadays. It's like, let's ride this pony until it breaks down, and you go your way and I'll go my way. We bring our lives to the table, or the altar really, when we come to Christ, and we say, God, you can have all of me. Full surrender, complete offering. It's nothing held back. It's body and it's soul. And it's spirit. We start by giving our souls to Christ, and he brings these dead spirits to life. And maybe there's somebody here tonight that you realize, I've never done that. Let me just say this to you very, very simply, and this is honest. I talked about all those people recently that have passed away and they've gone to heaven. They didn't go to heaven because they were good people. Ray didn't go to heaven on September 2nd because he was a good guy. He went to heaven because he trusted a good Savior. So the only way anybody gets there. Good mamas and good grandmas and good kids don't go to heaven. Grandmas, kids, and anyone goes to heaven because they're trusting Jesus and they've asked him to forgive their sins. They've recognized that they're guilty. So those people that we mentioned that we're praying for, not those that have gone before, but those that are left behind, those people that have gone to heaven, it was safe for them to die. If you haven't trusted Jesus yet, it is not safe for you to die. Because the other side of that threshold that we call death, it doesn't stop your existence. It just changes your address. It stops your residency here and you start residency somewhere else. And it's either wonderful or it's horrible forever. Wonderful forever or horrible forever. Now, I don't say that to scare you out of hell and into heaven, unless that helps. But I say it to tell you the truth. It is not safe for you to die until you say, Jesus, forgive my sins. And you say to him, Lord, take all of me. Because I don't really know what to do with my spirit, my soul, or my body. I've messed it up a lot. I'd messed it up horribly in 18 years and 3 months, two months. And you say, Jesus, you can have what's left of me, and you give it all to him. And we start that moment. Life begins when we say, Christ, come in and forgive me and cleanse me and take what's left of me. And he saves our soul. But he also gives that living spirit, the spirit of life that enters us, gives life to our soul, brings our spirit to life, and he also wants to inhabit this body, this flesh, that belongs to him. He's after you, spirit, soul, and body. He wants all of you, yes. And look, he's a stalker. Holy Spirit is a stalker. How many of you found that to be true? He didn't let you go. Would any of you say that he kind of snuck up on you? He did sneak up on me. I mean, I wasn't expecting the night I walked into that Bible study to lose my life to him. I wasn't expecting the invasion of his peace and his joy that night. He really did sneak up on me wonderfully. And as C.S. Lewis said in the title of his testimony book, Surprised by Joy. Surprised by the joy of God. He wasn't expecting that. And he's after everything that you are. Remember back in verse 22, it says, abstain from every form of evil. Circle that word form and every form. There's lots of different forms of evil. It's not just what we do with our body. There's evil you can do with your body, that you can commit with your body. It starts in the heart, maybe even deeper than that in the spirit. But there's physical evil. There's even soul evil and spiritual evil. And it may take the form of evil doctrine that we think it informs us to live any way in the world that we want to live. Jesus talked about the evil of the heart, the evil of the eyes, the evil that starts down deep in our heart, rage and lust, and all of it starts down there in the heart. And it can pollute you just as much as the physical sin that we've all been involved with can pollute us and break us. And often, when those temptations come to do whatever kind of evil it is, the evil with the mouth, the sin with the eyes, even the sin with the ears. How can you sin with your ears? By not turning that stupid thing off that's filling your mind with junk, not turning away from it. And whatever the temptation is, whatever we're wrestling with, whether it's the body or the soul or the spirit, it is remarkable to me, and I'm not going to talk about you, it's remarkable to me how often I give up in the fight without even a groan. Without even, how many of you have ever pushed a stubborn car and you just grunt? Why does that help, by the way? I don't know why that helps to make noise, but it seems to. And you give up sometimes without a grunt, without a groan, as you wrestle against sin. It's just like, all right. And you fall into the slop all over again. Why do we do that? Why do we refuse to wrestle against the evil that just wants to consume us and destroy us. The Christian has to learn how to fight in the real world, how to live in this real world without being spoiled by it. We can't bail out. There's no eject button on life. That's not our choice. We can't say, okay, I'm done, I'm out of here. The danger is that we live in a broken world that is polluted, and you know this. I'm not saying the world doesn't have beautiful places to go and look at and hang out and sort of refresh. But you know what I'm talking about, the world system that we all live in and we're inundated by. It's the danger of marination, and that's absorbing the toxins and even what I would say in a metaphor, the viruses, the toxic viruses of this world. Not just Ebola, but spiritual Ebola. It'll mess you up by not understanding the truth of God's word. We can't isolate ourselves. We need to engage in the world that he placed us in, even in the dangerous places like Watts that we heard about tonight. Hey, Huntington Beach can be dangerous too. Have you noticed that? Wherever we live, it's a challenge and it's a fight. When Joy and I were driving back to the airport in Spokane, we decided, well, let's get out of Coeur d'Alene and get back close to the airport and we'll get something to eat there. And so we're both just hungry, you know, and we get into Spokane and said, well, let's ask Siri. Siri knows everything. Siri's our friend. I've got a female Australian voice for Siri. I just like to hear the Australian voice coming back at me. And so I said, Siri, please find us a healthy restaurant. Healthy restaurant. And so she directed us to this place, Garden Something, and it sounded great, but she directed us through, it had to be the worst part of town. It was driving straight down Second Street, going back east, heading east for 3 or 4 miles, and we saw the meth addicts, prostitutes, broken people on both sides of the street, and our drive turned into a prayer meeting, and she didn't take us to a restaurant. She took us to a hydroponics store. I have no idea how that happened, but we had to drive all the way back the other way, but I think it was on purpose. I really believe with all my heart it was on purpose to remind us that every part of the world, even beautiful Washington, even beautiful Idaho, is filled with broken people who desperately need Christ. And that little drive up and down Second became a prayer meeting for us. How many of you ever have those moments in life where you just want to disconnect and you want to go away? Anybody but me? You just want to... I found something that'll help you do this. There are these great little chairs that you can... You know, every coffee shop needs to have those. And this is the leave me alone for a while, I just need to chill kind of chair. Or this one where it turns around and you're just in this little cup. But let me read this one. Let me read this to you. And then we're going to close. Even the most gregarious people occasionally need some time alone. Many choose garden sheds or outbuildings as their place of solitude, while others choose the spare room. But a new option has arrived in the form of cozy room, a personal isolation chamber that contains everything you could wish for from a man or woman cave. Japanese manufacturers of cozy room describe it as a relaxation room for man and woman. Unfortunately, any thoughts of sharing some time alone with your significant other are shattered by the fact that the cozy room is only designed to hold one person at a time because the chair slides in. You sit in the chair and the chair slides in. The whole thing measures 81 by 47 inches, but that shrinks considerably when the chair is pushed in to encase the incumbent on all sides. While there are air vents enabling the inhabitant to carry on breathing, which is handy, you know, if you're going to tuck yourself in, cozy room doesn't have air conditioning, meaning it could get really stuffy really quickly. There's also no plumbing, no built-in fridge, rather limiting the amount of time you could spend in cozy room in one sitting, and it only costs $8,000. But how many of you, from time to time, would just like a little time in the cozy room? You know what? I'm sorry. You don't get to check out of life here. God has us here for a reason, and he has us here for purpose. And here's the exciting thing to me, and I want to ask the worship team to come back if they would, please. When I think of how Jesus demonstrated for us how what we're talking about tonight, how it works, and I see Jesus who comes into this world and he is committed to the Father. He takes time to be with the Father. He takes time to refresh himself in the presence of the Father, all the while knowing that his commitment and his sanctification is not just spirit, it's not just soul. There's no pollution, no soul pollution in Christ, no spirit pollution in Jesus, but it was also his body. His body would be, he says, a body was prepared for me. And that body would be committed and consecrated to Jesus. It was spirit, it was soul, it was body, no blemish, no tainted motive. It was absolutely pure. Jesus came and with absolute purity, head to toe, inside out, he purchased for us an eternity, endless. Anybody excited to see it one day? Before long? One day, it's ours. Because what he did on that cross, he did it in the very real world. And he can help you. In fact, it says, let me remind you, it says in verse 24, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you see that Jesus, as we celebrated with communion last week, when you see what he did for you, here's the closing question. How can we give anything less than everything to him? How can we say, God, I'm going to give you 95% of me. I'm going to keep 5. This is my playtime 5. This is mine. This is for me. And you say to him, Jesus, take it all. What part tonight would you say you're holding back? Why would you hold it back? And what do you do now if you realize you have? Will you say, Jesus, cleanse me and forgive me and take everything that's left of my life? I mean, how far do you want to go with Christ? Anybody here want to go all the way? I want to give it all and go all in with him? I'm going to encourage you tonight to make that recommitment of what's left of your life to him, what's left of your body, what's left of your soul, what's left of you. Give it all to him. Dig in and give Jesus all, everything. Surrender. Surrender to him.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.